you're hearing this before listening to the weekly show, are you sure you meant to do that? If not, stop now and go do that first.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
Yes, so we're going to start, I guess, with...
What's your auntie been talking about?
Buzzcocks. So Simon Amstel, I thought he was really good. Then he was away for a whole... He left. And so they had a season where they just had kind of a rota of kind of random celebrity hosts. And I lost interest at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think, like, Simon Amstel, when he was on, he was going for... He was a bit cruel to some of the guests.
He was cruel to the people who deserved it, the really fatuous, shallow, useless pop stars, the terrible rap stars with awful videos who couldn't sing or write songs and who were ugly and stupid. He was cruel to those people. The people
he
that you
off.
Want.
Yeah. They had trouble booking guests because people started to get scared. like the nice people who had no reason to be scared. But anyway, he left. Simon Amstel left. He wasn't happy and he went off and did his own comedy thing.
Yeah.
And then the show just sort of, I don't know, it took a series to find its feet again. Bill Bailey left and Noel Fielding replaced him. And now they've just locked into a good groove. They've sort of departed a bit from the traditional categories. They've introduced a few new ones.
So the show, for people who've never seen Nevermind the Buzzcocks, it's basically a comedy quiz.
A comedy music quiz.
Where people try and guess connections between musical artists and videos, and they try and guess what a song is based on, you know, the contestants kind of trying to, with their mouths, make the sounds of the opening of a track, and they guess trivia and so on. Exactly.
Just like that. And exactly. It's more about the jokes. And yeah. I don't know, maybe they've got some new writers on, but it just feels like Ben was talking about an episode recently that was hosted by Adam Buxton. And he does a lot of cool comedy clips on YouTube. And one of the things he did was looking at YouTube comments. And it's just something as simple as that, like having to complete the sentence, and everyone knows how insane YouTube comments are. So it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
It was pretty funny. I watched.
Should
that
we rip that off? Should we steal that? I haven't seen it, but it sounds like it might be good.
Yeah, we should do that. Right. But yeah, so I highly recommend to investigate that from your auntie.
I'd like it if we could have a game which I don't have to be the quiz master of, so that I can actually play.
Sure, well, we can do one of those.
And I never want to be a guesser on Urban Dictionary Word of the Week because it is so fucking hard.
It's like throwing a dartboard at a collection of insanely written comments.
I liked it when you said dartboard. I think that's more amusing. Because there's no point on a dartboard.
You try and figure out what it hit and you're like, well, I don't know because it didn't stick to the thing.
It just kind of squashed on top. How many are under it? 17?
Yeah, it's a bit like that.
Okay, so Amstel gone for a whole season.
He's gone.
And now there's the second season post Amstel, and now they have a permanent host, is that right?
No, they have.
They still rotate?
Guest hosts, but they're getting. Like, the most recent one was Alice Cooper. And he just had all these cool anecdotes of all his crazy rock life.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
But should we talk about Community?
We should talk about Community. I have an apology to make to everyone. I was in on Community on the ground floor. I suggested it to friends because, you know, I tend to watch a lot of pilots and so on and first episodes just because I'm interested without reading about them. And I watched it and it just didn't grab me at all. I watched that first episode and I was like, you know, I guess this is sweet. I watched the second episode and I was like, well, I suppose this is amusing. And then I just stopped watching. And then other people later on caught up with it and they were like, yeah, this is so great. And I was like, yeah, it's not really that great. I don't understand why you like it. And then more recently, I gave it a chance and I watched some of the season 3 episodes and I was like, this is really good. This is really, I haven't even watched the paintball episodes, which everyone raves about. This is really good. This is actually really funny. So then I started watching that and let's do some deniability.
Let's open up the toot bag.
Ah, wrong button.
Don't forget to rewind the tape. Corrections.
Away I went. I suggested to the Sting Machine. I haven't called it that for a long time. Suggested to the Sting Machine that we might want to start watching it a little bit. You know, get the old season box sets from my auntie. And yay, that was I'm not kidding, last night I suggested that we probably should start watching this show. And then today out comes the news that it's been put on hiatus, which is basically the step before cancellation. They the network, I can't remember who it is, the network
NBC.
NBC has promised that they will make this season's full complement and they will play this season's full complement, but from that point no decision has been made. I think what this really means, what they're actually saying, is you need to get your listenership up and then you can have a season four. But if you don't, you are done. Because
they've done that with some other shows. I can't think of any examples of them, but they have done that with a couple of other shows where they've sort of said, look, you know, basically said,
pick
this,
it up.
This show's on the chopping block, and yep. and it has either been dumped or they've managed to pick up the ratings or whatever.
Yeah.
The thing with Community is, I mean, I really enjoy it, but I look at it and I think this is not going to appeal to certain viewers. It's quite, like, it's as hot as Jeff is, it's not a very sexual show. Everyone just sort of is, it's quite geeky and nice. And I can see that, you know, there would be some viewers who would watch it and would get quite bored with it.
It's not about the sexy lawyer, it's about Abed. It's all about Abed, as far as I'm concerned.
That's the thing, because if you can't relate to Abed, then I think the show will not work for you.
Yeah. I saw a thing on Metafilter a month or two ago before I actually started watching again, but it might be why it put it kind of back in my mind as something to consider again, about the process that the writer goes through to plan out every episode. And he's got these circle concepts, which...
Oh, yeah.
It is absolutely fascinating. And I'll probably put that in the show notes. Really interesting stuff about how to kind of have a complete story and make sure that, you know, everyone has a little bit of involvement, and you know, there's all these elements that they always have, you know, to one degree or another. And it's fascinating to see exactly how thorough they are with every single episode and how they create and craft every single episode.
You know, I follow his Tumblr blog.
Yeah,
and Tumblr-log. It's really interesting. Tumblr.
Yeah.
Tumblr. Really interesting, because there was a recent episode where Pierce, who's made his money in a moist towelette business, discovered that his moist towelettes had become iconic in the gay community. And so it was a really funny episode. But after the episode, people were saying, well, how come all the gay characters were just these kind of gay guys, and they weren't actually characters, and they were either there to be going, yay, you're gay, or boo, you're anti-gay. And he wrote this really quite thoughtful post saying, you know what, you're right, they were really shallow characters. And it didn't even occur to me at the time. But now that this has been pointed out to me, and now that I've written this really long response to it, you know, I want to let you know that this is on my radar, and will, I won't do this sort of thing again. And also to other people, don't attack these people who have given me this really good criticism. So I thought, yeah, that's the kind of feedback you want. That's why people love him.
That's pretty cool. I haven't actually watched, I think I saw one episode of Community and I enjoyed it, and then I've just never really...
Dylan, you would love it.
I know I would. I have so little time in my life for television shows. I just don't...
22 minutes.
I know, I can find a place, but I'm even behind in Boss. Like, I've got, you know, tapes sitting here to watch, and I haven't watched them.
You need to take the bus to work, and then you can watch it on your phone.
I could watch it. Actually, I've got a little cell phone holder in my car that can hold my phone up sort of quite close to the steering wheel. So
you're driving.
What are you talking about? No? That'd be fine.
I wouldn't.
Rob says no.
No? Okay. Oh, well. No, it's on my list. I think... what else? I also... God, there was another show I haven't watched.
Boss?
Talk about all the shows we haven't watched.
Oh, so many shows I should have watched.
Deadwood, and I haven't watched The Wire.
Yeah,
I haven't watched The Wire either. See, there's these shows that are so far in, and you're like, oh god, I really want to watch this, but I feel like I should, you know, start from the beginning. And there's so much.
Hmm.
You've just got, you know, I've only got so much space to store tapes.
I've just noticed that
Breaking Bad.
That Doctor, you haven't watched Breaking Bad.
No, I haven't watched Breaking Bad. I have.
I would claim to be
a stack of tapes.
I would claim to be lost for words, but everyone knows that's probably not true. I am lost for words. I am lost for words. That's ridiculous. How can you have not watched Breaking Bad? It is the fucking business.
Yep.
How can you have not watched Breaking Bad?
No, that's roughly what I've heard as well. I just didn't.
Sorry, I just noticed that John Brash has a Twitter account at Dr. John Brash.
Oh, yeah.
And he's very ironically asking for the address for discourse.co.nz/live. Oh, that guy is such a donkey.
Oh, what a dick.
What a dick. Does anyone know who's running that thing? Good for you, whoever it is. Thank you. Congratulations. You've got no followers, but work a bit harder at it.
Lame. It's got a picture of corned beef. It looks delicious.
Corned beef!
Oh, shit.
Don't make me start the thing.
No. So should we talk about the teapot tapes anymore, or are we just going to stick with...
Do you want to? Holy God! Fucking hell. I'm very sorry. I started something, and apparently it had a really loud noise as it started.
So we didn't get into... So there was a meeting, and it was recorded.
Yes.
And the Herald got the recording. We keep saying tape, but clearly there was no tape involved. It was a file, but anyway.
Are we sure there was no tape involved?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know what camera was being used. Herald got the recording, and it's all kind of gone from there. And everyone's an expert.
Yeah.
And a number of people have come out and said, well, obviously he knew it was there, which he may have, but obviously he knew it was there, otherwise he wouldn't have kept recording. Cameramen always start and stop constantly. Which isn't necessarily true. It's very hard to talk.
Just making it clear that I'm ready.
Yeah. I assume that you're always just a button press away from whatever.
Guess what? I don't want to talk about that. It's really boring, Dylan.
Yeah, tell you what, let's put a link in the thing. But there was John Key today put a link in the thing to my post. I'll send the link. I explained why I think this is a load of shit, mm-hmm. or some of it's a load of shit, or some stuff.
Have you ever seen a microphone left in a pouch like that?
No, but the explanation,
that is the one thing that doesn't make a great deal of sense to me.
That part I don't have any problem with, because his explanation for it is legitimate. There was a lot of people crowded around the table. He couldn't get close enough to get good audio, and they started asking and answering questions. So he grabbed his mic, presumably out of his pocket or belt bag or backpack or whatever he's got, in a protective little cloth bag,
yeah.
Switched it on and chucked it on the table, which would be a lot quicker than switching it on, taking it out and putting it on the table. And the audio quality, given that it's on a table instead of attached to a person as it's meant to be, would be negligible.
I don't think there'd be much difference, but it does. It still seems strange to me for it to be in the pouch.
It. I don't have a problem with that part. The part that is...
It might be plausible, but it just still seems unlikely.
That doesn't.
But if it's legit, then surely he has footage of previous events where he's done something along the same lines, where the microphone's been in the pouch. Because that can't be the first time he's ever done this thing. Surely it can't be the first time he's ever done this thing. If he can come up with that, then I will buy it.
Well, I don't even think. Yeah, maybe. I don't have a problem with that part of it. The part that is unusual is that he then left the cafe and the conversation continued for 8 or 9 minutes.
Yeah.
And he continued recording the entire time.
Yeah.
Which people point out is a bit unusual, because usually if you were in that situation as a cameraman, you'd record, maybe for 30 seconds from one angle, then go and get a different shot from a different angle for a while.
Do we know what was actually in that pouch? I mean, what was it, possibly something like a Zoom H1 or something? Was it possible that it was actually a recorder?
It's been made very clear it was a radio mic.
Right, okay.
Yeah, definitely wireless transmission.
Right.
And in fact, as far as I understand it, the police or the National Party press people still have the microphone. They didn't give it back to him.
A what?
Apparently they did not give it back to him.
That doesn't make any sense. That would be theft.
I suppose it would be, actually. That's an interesting angle. But anyway, so John Key said that he was standing up for principle, which I kind of agree with.
Principled, John Key.
No, I don't agree necessarily that is what he's doing, but I agree that, it's fine to stand up for principle. I think that's good. But he then goes on to explain it. He says, what about, I'm paraphrasing because I can't be bothered looking up the transcript. He says, what about a situation where, what if a high-profile couple were discussing their suicidal child and the press got a hold of that and published it and then the child committed suicide?
I don't think that they would.
Well, I can't. It's just such...
What about if the Prime Minister of a country was talking about something behind closed doors which directly opposed what he was saying in public, as
it wasn't
we've seen
behind closed doors, that's the thing. It was in a cafe.
Well, what we saw with Gordon Brown was him saying stuff where he thought it was private and it turned out it wasn't, and there was no prospect. So the principle, actually, I'm not sure, is so clear as John Key wants the electorate to think.
No, it certainly
what about the other people in the cafe?
So the police are investigating under Section 216B of the Crimes Act, which is about interception of private communication.
Mm-hmm.
And interception in this case means either listening into or recording. 216A defines that communication. It defines what private communication is. And it says that private communication does not include such communication occurring in circumstances in which any party ought reasonably to expect that the communication may be intercepted by some other person not having the express or implied consent of any party to do so.
Like the 30 news cameras.
Or the other people in
the cafe. 1 meter away.
Intercepted in the law means recorded, listened to, and a bunch of other things, but basically recorded or listened to. So someone sitting next to you is intercepting your communication if they can hear you.
Yeah. What I think is that it's all purely academic. The Herald on Sunday have always planned on publishing next Sunday in the paper. They didn't have enough time to whip up a buzz around it for last Sunday's one. Because it was only like the next day.
Yeah.
And so their plan was to build up a buzz for this week and sell a lot of papers this weekend. And that is actually probably in the interests of the public, because it's closer to the election, so it'll be closer to the front of people's minds, remembering this underhandedness. And then it will either turn out to be, you know, there was actually no fuss at all. They don't, you know, talk about anything dodgy. Or it will turn out to be actually a little bit underhanded, some dodgy political planning.
It becomes an arms race. The Herald has, and the media in general, the Herald and TV3 both have claimed to have heard the recording. Both claim it has substantially, you know, interesting things in it. Yeah. Whereas John Key and John Banks both say that it was, you know, it's uneventful. When the transcript comes out and it turns out that, in fact, there is conversation of rolling brash or selling more assets, things that people have suggested, then it's not only going to be a great revelation for the fact of what's in the recordings, but also for the fact that the National Party went to such lengths and was so vocal about not releasing it and about how innocent it was as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Anyway. I've ranted about it on my website or one of my websites, and many, many other people have ranted about it.
Yeah.
It's well worth reading. It's a really well written piece, Dylan, with lots of insider information about the way that news filming goes and the likelihood of things happening. So
yeah, except for the typos. There's typos in there that I can't be bothered fixing.
You should fix them.
Fix them.
Yeah, I can't find them now. I'll have to read it again to find them.
I noticed a few of them. Just to change the subject, Morgan, I was going to say.
what? Sorry.
Nothing. Oh yeah.
I'm very sorry. I just made Dylan laugh by posting a photo that you'll see in the show notes. It's a headline from an unknown newspaper, Northern California's largest Filipino-American newspaper. Don't know what that means it's called. The something mall? I don't know. The headline is MILF Braces for Fap Offensive.
I've seen a video of that.
Now, of course, the MILF is not a funny thing. This is the Moro Islamic Liberation Front. They're a terrorist paramilitary organization. And I don't know what the FAP is, but, you know, presumably it's another silly acronym for an Islamic group or whatever.
Filipino armed something, maybe? Based on the fact that it'd be sorry.
And everyone knows that MILF is a word for something else, and many people know that FAP is a word for masty.
The film that introduced FAP, into the popular lexicon, American Pie. There's going to be a sequel to that, American Pie Reunion.
That would be, what, like the fifth sequel?
No, well, it's actually a proper sequel with the original cast, not just one of those weird spin-offs that kept happening with random people who are like, hey, look at Stifler's cousin.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say before that, before we got distracted by Milton Faffing, when I was talking to that guy, the discourse listener at the thing on Friday, he said that he and his flatmate tried to figure out what Morgan's day job was.
Yeah.
And they were like, he's probably someone like a tobacco industry PR. And I thought, yeah.
Thank you for smoking.
A really good guess.
Yeah. I strongly appreciate it. Welcome to Discourse.
Morgan's New Zealand's
favourite underground internet radio show. Good episode last week, I thought. David Farrar and Jordan Carter. The only thing I regret is that clunker. When what did I say? I referred to Jordan as a giant, a huge homo. That joke didn't go down well. I mean, what I intended for it was to come across as, you know, a kind of a warm, ironic, welcoming dumb thing. I don't know.
I've tried that. It's very difficult, especially when you have maybe a gay friend who calls himself a homo or a faggot, and then you try it back at him, and it's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
Yeah, you're my favorite.
No. You just
gotta... And I'm going to put a mark on that for bleeping. I'm sorry, chat room. I thought it would be funny at the time, but it wasn't. I bet Koana has a problem with me saying.
We're
going to get told off again.
It's not. It's not going to be.
All right, I'm going to put another mark. I've just got to not make those jokes.
Yeah.
Raj in the chat room, N-bomb, mark it. Yeah, quite right. Hey, Dylan. No. Hey, fuck you, Dylan. Hey, Robin. Yeah.
What?
Do you want to be able to stream Hulu or BBC iPlayer, even though you're not currently in America or the UK?
Yeah.
Do you have some reason for wanting people who try to look at your internet connection to see not that you're in New Zealand, but instead that you're on some anonymous IP address in Canada, Sweden, France, England, America, or Russia?
You said it.
Do you just generally want to have your anonymity protected on the internet, maybe because your government's recently passed some kind of stupid law or whatever?
Tell me about it.
Tell them to mind their business. While you mind yours, go to discourse.co.nz/VPN and sign up.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
It's surprisingly inexpensive.
I like things that are inexpensive.
I've been reading news groups lately.
Wow, actual news groups. No. There's certain kinds of things you cannot talk about, even in deniability land, if that's what you're talking about.
alt.sex.stories.moderated.
ASSM. That's not where I was going.
Wait, I've never heard that acronym before.
Haven't you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Good. Awesome.
NZ.general. So that's a nice one.
Yeah, I remember NZ.general. I wonder if there's anyone there. No, I was just having a look at some news group things the other day. Interesting. I didn't even realise that news groups still existed. Do any local ISP still carry news service?
Don't need to because like Super News and so on will do it for you, but we don't talk about that.
It's funny. I wanted to find an NZ.general thread at the time in maybe 1996 when Dave Dobbin did a live webcast.
M-Bone. Yep.
Yeah, and it came out of Waikato, and the entire New Zealand internet went slow that night because it was just sucking up all the bandwidth.
And we were all on one 10 base T connection.
Yeah, going, curse you, Dave Dobbin.
Dave Dobbin, you're funny with those puffy eyes. And you're a weird born-again Christian, you weirdo. You used to be cool in the 80s.
That's what we said. And then there were all these people commenting in it that I know now. And I was like, oh my God, it's Alan and Dan and OMG. So, there was some pretty cool old school action going on there.
If you don't know, of course, news groups were basically the start of the internet. I mean,
They were the start of the social internet.
Yeah.
News groups and IRC. Yeah. IRC was probably the first thing that I did on the internet because I went to a BBS friend's place. what was his name? His name was, he was very high for a BBS guy. He was very high profile.
What's his handle?
Robin and I are going to go, oh, when you say it.
I'm not going to be able to remember. No. He wasn't Sexy Grammar Boy, because we all know who that was. What was his name? It was on, I met him on Portunus's Little CBCS.
Good board.
Gay as board, but also not gay people. Who else would have been there? Timmy Teaspoon. Who else? Puck. God, that guy was dodgy. I think he wanted to fuck me.
Of course.
Because, I mean, I was like 17, so who wouldn't want to? God, I've seen photos of myself back then. There's no surprise I had no trouble with the ladies.
Golden locks.
What was his name? But anyway, he logged me in on his little Acorn, I think. His Risk computer, Risk as.
I loved that.
To Hot Tub. IRC channel, Hot Tub, hash Hot Tub. And that was probably one of my very first experiences.
Man, hash Hot Tub.
Yeah. Do you remember there was that NZ Jot General meetup in, was it 90, 95 or 96?
At it was that in Palmerston North. Oh, no, I didn't go to that.
And it was, I didn't go to it either.
Oh, the one that Lennon puked in the spa.
Yeah, everyone just got drunk and had sex with each other.
Craig Whitmore, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Because it was all these geeks and they'd never met each other for the first time. They probably didn't have much, you know, experience. And suddenly they're all like, drunk.
These people enjoy some of the same things as me. The people who were not in the IRC scene think that we were all anti-social little weirdos, but they don't know that we were having more sex than any of them.
It was freakishly social. I wasn't having much sex, but there was lots of parties.
But Dylan, you were like 13. Of course you weren't. You were one of the youngest, weren't you?
I don't know, maybe.
I think you were, because I mean, probably. I was only about 16 or 17.
Yeah, I was. Or 18, the first time maybe? I used IRC was in the little training room, I think, at IHUG, the little... know, out the front, the little like.
So that you must have been 16.
Nah, well, maybe it was earlier than that then. Because I don't know. Maybe I'm not sure exactly. It would have been around 94, 95.
Right.
Maybe 95. So 14, 15.
Right.
There you go. Yeah, internet.
Good times.
I've spent a number of New Year's Eves on IRC.
Oh, I'm going to now usually I leave it till the last possible minute and then just manage to wangle some fun with some friends. You know, just at someone's place, we just go and hang out and have some, you know, have a glass of wine and make a nice shared dinner or whatever. But this time I've managed to get my shit together in advance. And I'm not going far, but I'm going to Sydney because I understand that Sydney's actually quite fun for New Year's Eve.
They do good fireworks.
Yeah, and I quite like good fireworks. So I'm quite looking forward to that.
Yay, and it'll be really hot.
I'm looking at that newsgroup thread you posted, you know, you mentioned. just found a post from Cyberboy.
How about Sickboy?
No, nothing from Sickboy.
Yeah.
No, anyway, yeah, fun times.
I love looking back at old newsgroup stuff because it still is all available, all that old stuff. And so yeah, I can see the first message that I sent my former long-term girlfriend and like weird stuff from way back, stuff that I just, unfortunately, a lot of my most active stuff was in closed IHUG newsgroups, which only IHUG members, customers could get into. And I don't think most of that stuff is out there in public anywhere that I can see. I'm sure that people I know will have it all.
I imagine there was
nowadays, a bunch of us from IHUG would be able to claim that we were, you know, community managers or whatever the in social thing is. I think it'd be a legit claim to say that we were some of the first of those. I mean, certainly in New Zealand. I would say that we dealt really well with a lot of those customers, those really into it customers of the company, people that, you know, we probably considered members of the user group.
There was a crazy lady and she'd set up an account and she rang up saying that she wanted a refund because she hadn't been able to use her account, and that happens a lot. People would sign up, and for some technical reason, they wouldn't be able to connect. But I looked at her usage.
They hadn't turned their computer on most of the time.
Yeah, I looked at her usage hours, and she'd clocked up like hundreds of hours already.
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, you've used it a lot." She's like, "I can only use the news groups."
Yeah.
And she was just this hardcore news group user.
Yeah.
And that was the one thing she had.
Yeah. News groups were really fun. Really fun. Mad, insane flame wars. Insane.
Did you use Gopher?
Yeah, yeah, sure, Gopher. Yeah, absolutely. Not much, though, because it wasn't much, because the web was just better. The web was just flat out better. Yeah, right away. Right away. I mean, I wasn't really on the internet until about 94, 95. So the web was already far and away better. Far and away. Even though browsers were shitty and HTML was ridiculous. It was. I mean, I did. Of course, I used Gopher. I think everyone back then had, you know, tried it.
It's so hard to even remember what the internet was like when you compare it to what it is now.
Do you remember browsing with images turned off?
Yes.
And then every now and then you'd be like, I'm pretty sure this is a cool image, so I'm going to turn images on for that one. And then you'd watch it, like in the BBS days, coming down line by line, and you'd be like, if this turns out to be a fucking bikini photo, I'm going to be so angry. And you'd get to the thing, and it's either it's going to be nipples or it's going to be cloth. As soon as it's cloth, it's like, God damn it!
Did you like, even go further than that? BBS's was it?
ZZap? Z modem, where you can start watching it and you'd be like, oh no, I'm cancelling that one.
Yeah, man, that was so awesome.
There was a guy, one of the guys who'd hang out in the Hamilton BBS scene. He was a really talented graphic artist, and as far as I know, that's what he still does. But he would do ASCII drawings, and he would scan in a photo and then expertly tweak it and the colours and the characters. And he would do like... ladies in bikinis and stuff, and James Bond stuff, but it was really good, like, because he was this really awesome artist, and that sort of it's like the lo-fi version of that in Hamilton.
I used to use the draw and try and make ANSI graphics for
things. Oh, ANSI, flash.
Is that what I was thinking of?
Well, it depends.
You remember it as having any color in it and extended characters like squares and like angly things and so on, then that was probably ANSI. There was a little bit of that in ASCII, but ASCII was mainly characters, normal characters.
Okay, it would be
ANSI
if there were colors.
Oh dear. So is that a secret, what you just revealed there?
What? No.
The BBSs. We could talk about this for a very long time.
We should almost make an overflow for this.
Yeah, maybe we should. Because people who didn't do it, aside from historians, probably are not going to be, oh, thank you, baby. I sent a little quiet text message. And what comes back? Not a reply text. Wine.
Oh.
Perfect. Thank you, baby. That is heaps. Thank you.
Going to get you drunk and take advantage of you.
It's like my children, and for that matter, even people I work with, have not ever known the internet to not be around.
Yeah, and to not be fucking amazing and reliable.
Yeah,
I mean, once upon a time, the expectation was that you would start dialing, and probably sometime in the next 30 minutes to an hour, you would get a connection.
Yeah, and then you didn't want to go way too far while you were doing that, because if you dialed up and got a connection and then just left it hanging for an hour, it was going to cost you money.
Well, it was going to cost you money, but also probably more likely is it was going to disconnect and then you'd be back to square one again, because ISPs were oversubscribed, and back then that meant physically not having enough modems to answer the call of all of their customers, or not even enough modems to answer a fraction of their customers. I mean, I remember it. I'm sure both of you also remember this. Seeing stacks of physical external modems, and every single one of them could take one single call in. I mean, later on, we added, you know, VCR size boxes that had 60 lines first, and then later on, like 400 lines. And then later on, you know, it just kind of the numbers were big enough that it was no longer really a consideration. But to begin with, you know, one phone line in, and we had a whole lot of different phone numbers because we had so many lines on each number. Telecom could only hunt, I think, maybe 50 or 100 lines. So we could only have like 100 modems per phone number. It was about 100, 100 or 200. But we had like 6,000 lines. So, of course, we had 20 or 30 different phone numbers in Auckland and other completely separate phone numbers in Wellington and Christchurch and other places, because this was before we had like the 0867 and 0873 numbers from Telecom that they forced us onto eventually. So each each Auckland customer would, if they were smart, they would try to find the newest number that we added. And we had lists of dial-in numbers, and you'd add them to your script. And if you got the new number that no one knew about, you know, there'd be 200 modems there waiting, unused, because we didn't have clever hunting that went between all these lines.
Or if you knew the number that was reserved for staff members.
Or if you lived at one of the two flats that were within Ethernet cable distance.
I remember in 1997 when I first moved to Auckland, I would get, you know, engaged signal. Or the phone lines would actually get overloaded. It would be the telecom overload message.
Yeah. We blew them up. We absolutely blew them up. They had no idea what to do with us. iHug were a big part of that because, no, Extra grew bigger than iHug fairly quickly once they released because, you know, they had obvious market advantages. But iHug were the first, I think, the first really successful ISP, even though Icons and iProlink and so on kind of came first. We did things with flat rate and so on.
It was the flat rate,
It was the flat rate. We sold, and I was in as a customer before the flat rate. I had like a Diamond account, and then of course when the flat rate was out, I think I might have already been working there when the flat rate came out.
Diamond was the flat rate account. Yeah, it would have had something else before that.
Gold.
Yeah, but I don't know if anyone else did this, but I have heard stories, let's say, of people, staff members, occasionally just switching off random modems.
I did. Well, of course we had a script that one of the programmers at iHug wrote, Jort Blum, who wrote a script that found all of the crashed modems, and it gave you coordinates of the modem. Because we had, initially it was just modems on one shelf. That was early days. But later on we had modems in specially constructed wooden cabinets. And so you'd have a shelf, and then you'd have a stack, and then you'd have like the number in the stack. So you might have like six stacks of 8 or 10 modems on each shelf, and there might be 10 shelves in each cabinet. And there were a whole bunch of cabinets in the air-conditioned server room. And it would say cabinet 1, shelf 3, stack 4, number 5. And, you know, initially I'd go in there and I'd try to find the switch on the back of each one. And there'd be like, you know, 20 crashed modems. And crashed meant, of course, that they couldn't answer any calls. And you'd have to go in there and restart it because, you know, it makes a difference to the customers not having it there. But, you know, eventually you're like, I can't actually be bothered finding the one modem back there. And the coordinates were not always accurate. And so eventually, you know, you just switch off that shelf. Because why not? And so, of course, many times we had accidents because it was not a well-designed modern server room with raised floors. What we had was, you know, multi-boards and extension cables and Ethernet cables that you had to carefully reach across and step over. And so every now and then someone would just stand on something and a whole cabinet would go down. Or several cabinets would go down. And the sound of all those modems going offline, it was not a happy sound. Because they all made a thunk. Each one made a thunk. You know, a click. But when you had 400 modems turn off at once, it made a big sound. And it was like, that is a lot of unhappy people right now. But they didn't know why it happened, of course. The worst thing, it's not a bad thing, was just with a friend. I ping flooded people off just for annoying me on IRC.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Little spirit.
Yeah. We should definitely have just some random
talk about the old days. There was a New Zealand internet history book was released not long ago. Maybe we could talk to some of those people and people who weren't just from iHug, but you know, a wider selection. But perhaps we can make that a separate show.
I think so.
Not part of Discourse or the Overflow.
I'm not
but a separate
so
thing.
Convinced with that because it was a very male dominated book.
Right.
I mean, it was just, you know, it might just be a starting point.
There were a lot of guys around at the time,
right?
But they didn't seem to really talk to many women at all,
There were a lot of women. I mean, even now, I still know quite a few. Well, you're one of them.
And people like Brenda Lewenberg.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Down to the Wire project.
Oh, very excellent. Brilliant stuff. Yeah. Love it. Yeah, we had, we spoke Thomas. To someone, yeah, Thomas whatever, Thomas the Snuggle. Vegan. On about that when it was new. Good stuff. They have done some stupid shit though. Like they removed people because they had personal issues with them. A bit drama-ish actually, frankly. The Down to the Wire thing. I think they should pick up their ideas a little bit. Cool project. I mean to criticize the project overall, but you know, don't be crybabies.
I wish I could find someone I know on Facebook has photos of some of the old IHUG modem racks, but I can't find them right now.
I've got one.
It's just unbelievable when you see it. And that wasn't even that was actually just some of the shelves. It wasn't ever the big.
Yeah, I've got that one.
Fully wooden, like.
I haven't got anything coming inside the actual server room, but I've got the one that you're talking about.
Yeah.
My favorite IHUG photo is the one when, you know, the homepage used to have that seasonal photo that kept changing.
Do I remember? I did it.
Because you did it. And then then you went through a phase of doing some sort of like crazy avant-garde stuff in Photoshop. Yeah. And there was one, it was this stalk of broccoli with a monkey.
Oh, the penis monkey.
It looked like a penis.
Yep. Yeah, it wasn't a penis. I swear to God, it was a monkey.
It was a monkey.
It was a monkey.
Just looked like there was a little penis poking out the top of the broccoli.
To begin with, I couldn't see it.
And complaining about it.
Yeah, I don't blame them actually.
See, and that was it's interesting because that was like expressing some personality in the brand.
Yeah,
that is now what is, you know, what Twitter's all about. Brands on Twitter are all about expressing personality in their brand.
Now, what is the best way for me to... All right, I'm going to twit pick this modem rack.
Bravo.
It's not a modem rack, it's a shelf.
So we've just gone to a reminiscing of the old... How do we even get onto this?
IRC.
Talk about news groups, and then it went into Dave Dobbin.
IRC probably, because...
Oh, yeah, M-Bone.
Yeah, it was M-Bone. And Ving, was it? Ving or Zing? What was the...
Zing. That was the MP3. Zing. That was the MP3 encoder.
MPEG. Was that MP3 or that was MPEG video, wasn't it?
No, you're right. It was MPEG. It was MPEG. Yeah.
Amazing.
The MP3 was Icecast.
Yeah. Still is, actually.
Yeah. Where is this thing? And there it goes. This is 170 phone lines. This is from November 1995. I will not post it to Twitter, and I will not include location data, and I will upload, and then I will just tell the people in the chat room who's still there. Is anyone still there? This is probably quite alienating for most people.
There's three or four of them.
All right, here you go then. Here is something that you have possibly never seen before, and you as well, Dills. That is the old entranceway, sort of. Sort of the entranceway at IHUG. Not quite the entranceway, but it's where that bench there with all those modems and cables on it and terminal servers, that bench is where my password was written down when I first signed up as a young teenager by co-founder of the company, Tim Wood. right there, next to those. I mean, how is that going to inspire confidence in a new customer? Seeing that, listeners to the Overflow show, I'll put it in the show notes for you.
What was your first password at IHUG? Do you remember?
FR005. It was probably
Friday. Signed up on a Friday?
Yeah, probably a Friday.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember my first one, which was beyond that. It was random. It was KM37BFS.
Much better. Mine was FRI92. FRI because it was Friday, and 92 was last two digits of my phone number.
God. So secure.
I know. Beautiful. I don't think I had allocate passwords like that anymore.
I had root. I had root because I needed it to do stuff for the account system.
That is outrageous. I had root as well. A lot of people had root, and I was fucked off when root finally went away. But it made no sense for me to have root for so many of the servers.
I couldn't have done anything malicious.
Yeah. Oh, I could have. I accidentally fucked some shit up a couple of times. just because it was so easy to fuck a server up by doing rmrf /*. Who knew?
Everything.
When you mean to do /*, don't do /*. Don't do /*.*, either, because that will also cause problems. This is the Nerd Podcast. Have we got any other things to do?
Is there any more political?
How about one of them?
Corrections.
Yeah. Have we got any corrections? Nah.
Absolutely not.
Nah.
Everything we say is correct.
Who needs corrections?
I'm just going to have a look at my document and see if there's anything else that I thought was really interesting and important to talk about. No. We were going to talk to... didn't matter. I did actually arrange to talk to the Tea Party, the Teapot Tape cameraman, but yeah. He has apparently since quite wisely taken a lawyer's advice not to talk to him anymore.
I think that he's got nothing to worry about, but yes, definitely has to shut up.
Yeah, good idea to shut up even. I mean, I think in the end it's going to come down to it wasn't private.
It wasn't private.
Fact, there was a story, I haven't had a chance to watch it, there was a story on Campbell Live, well, tonight or on Tuesday night, depending on when you're listening to this, about it, which demonstrated apparently that there was a cameraman in the doorway of the cafe at the time, not very far away from while they were having their private discussion as well, so that, you know.
I would like to know how much of the conversation could be pieced together from video cameras outside. Like, for instance, if you got, you know, the media card from TV3 or TVNZ or whoever, and you got a skilled lip reader, would they be able to say, oh, yeah, this is exactly what they're saying? Because if that's the case, then that would be legitimate interception, I would have thought. That just is the same as overhearing, surely. Overhearing a public conversation, surely.
Because...
They knew that cameras were there. They knew that people could see their mouths.
So they would presume that they had privacy even... Well, they wouldn't. I mean, you know, the same. They'd presume they had privacy.
I just think they had no presumption to privacy.
No, I don't think
I think
they
that
did either.
They're just so arrogant that they know they can get away with almost anything. So we see, for instance, The Listener asked policy questions of all the.
Radio New Zealand.
Was it Radio New Zealand?
Yep.
Asked the same question of all of the New Zealand political parties. Guess who said they wouldn't answer any of their questions on policy? Guess who? It'll be really easy because we're talking about them right now. That's right. Our government, the New Zealand National Party, well, the major part of our government, they actually won't answer questions about their policy. This is how arrogant they are, and they have the audacity to say that Labour are arrogant.
Look, their policy is so good
that it doesn't need to be discussed, just like ACT.
That's right. Yeah.
No, I think it's outrageous.
It's fascinating. It's...
And that's not a new thing. This is John Key's form. He doesn't answer real questions from actual journalists. He doesn't front up. Every now and then they do a press conference, of course, in at Parliament. But he doesn't go on close up, usually.
Apparently he looked quite surprised by the grilling he got from Rachel Smalley on TV3's Sunrise.
Right, well, because he's been avoiding it.
Well, no, because...
Because he's because the smile he and wave a, prime minister.
He thought it was... I think he expected it to be a bit of a smile and wave appointment, and it turned out to be... He got a grilling from a fairly light news...
Well, good for her, and I wish more of our New Zealand journalists would have the courage to front up and do the same thing.
Well, it's... The problem is...
Because it's the way democracy has to work. Hard questions.
Yep. No, I mean, I think... it'll be really interesting to see what the longer term ramifications of teapot tapes are.
It depends on if and when it's released.
It'll definitely get released. Yeah.
I think it's coming out on Sunday. I think there's just no question they're going to do it on Sunday.
Or maybe earlier, because TV3 has it too, and they'll probably think the same thing you think. And if I were TV3 and I was pretty certain the Herald on Sunday were going to release it on Sunday, I would release it on Friday.
Yeah, preempt them. Get it out there. And then it will either turn out to be a duck's fart, or it'll turn out to be something that's significant. I think it will probably only have major significance to Epsom voters.
I'm just hoping it would be interesting if it did have a larger implication in terms of, you know, when it turns out that they are talking about, you know, policy related things and things that are directly affecting the, you know, the way the intent of Epsom voters ends up being interpreted. Because, you know, if you're telling voters one thing in public and then in supposedly private, you're telling someone else another thing about what you're going to do, then, you know, you've essentially misled people.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, broadly speaking, what all the government is. But at that
And that's the modus operandi of National, frankly, being a bit misleading.
Yeah.
A whole lot of stuff. Let's not forget what happened at the debates when Key was asked, you know, directly to his face, you know, about telling lies in politics. And Gough said, I don't think you should. And Key said, oh, well, you know, situations can change. And that was his response to, you know, should politicians lie?
Wasn't it a dynamic situation?
Yes or no. Yeah, it was something like that. It's a dynamic situation. It's not, no, they shouldn't lie. Of course they shouldn't lie. Sometimes if something needs to be secret, you say, we can't discuss that, you know, or you do the old American thing, and we can neither confirm nor deny whatever particular thing. That's not lying.
Yeah.
That might be considered reasonable depending on the situation. But when he makes it clear that he is very happy to lie, and when we've got him on record lying to the New Zealand electorate, he can't be trusted. And he is the best of that fucking party. That's why he's their face. And he can't be trusted.
My favourite thing about that debate was possibly the GST rise thing.
Yeah.
Where he was said, well, you know, you stood here and told, you know, 3 years ago you stood here and told New Zealanders that you would not raise GST.
Yeah.
But what he said was, I can't remember what it was. He made some, you know, it was conditional. You know, it was like, we will not raise GST to do blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so when questioned this, he said, well, this is what I said, and we didn't raise GST for that reason. We raised it for another reason.
Yeah.
It's like, yay. Wow. Brilliant. Yeah.
Scumbag. Scumbag. What?
Lawyered.
But he doesn't give it. He's like the honey badger. Because why does he give a shit? He's super rich. What difference does it make to him? He's been, you know, the boss, in a manner of speaking, of a whole fucking country. He's been successful in business, and he's got his 40, 50 might be now, million dollars. He's got his massive Hawaii mansion holiday home. Thank you for supporting the New Zealand tourism industry, by the way, Key. Spending your discretionary income here. It's awesome of you to do that. Thanks a lot. What, I mean, why does he give a shit about what anyone thinks about him? He doesn't. He clearly doesn't give a shit. Actually, probably a good thing too, because there's some unreasonable people around. Maybe me. I might be one of them.
Wow, I just went to the NZ Herald website and it started playing noise at me.
So I'm trying to find a John Key GST video. There's one that's 17 seconds long, but I've got a feeling it's actually not just a straight thing. I think it is a so-called funny one. So let's see what happens.
The nation was not going to be raising GST.
Nick Minnett.
Prime Minister John Key has signalled that GST will be raised to 15%.
That's really good.
I like a good. Is that Nick Minnett News or something? Is that the?
I don't know. I don't know what
there's,
that is.
There's a YouTube channel, you know, user called, I think it's something like Nick Minnett News, which is a bunch of those.
Nick Minnett News. I'm interested in this. I want to. Which ones can I play, and will they be funny? This one's only 13 seconds long. This is Nick Minnett Dan Carter.
New Zealand's big favourites, the All Blacks, but their fly half Dan Carter, Superman, really has been ruled out of their match against Canada because of a groin strain.
Nick Minnett.
That was useless. That one was stupid. It ended with Australia with the cup. That didn't happen. What the hell was that? That didn't make any sense.
Maybe that was released at the time when Dan Carter had his groin strained and everyone was like, we're going to lose.
October 12th. Yeah, October 12th.
Hey, Robin, is it time for you to take off, is it? Should we wrap up? Is it nearly?
Hey, Robsy to Bobsy. Maybe you can go and have bedtime with your new iPhone. Oh, has it not arrived yet?
Not yet. Two to 3 weeks.
Robin has God damn it! iPhone.
Well, hopefully it arrives a little bit sooner then, because it'd be great if we could get you on the election show with your multiple cameras flipping back and forth and doing Skype and all of that good shit.
Oh my God! Yeah, well, it's fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Because you wanted the one with the big memory and it had to be white.
Because you're a girl.
Well, it would have happened if it got the black one too.
Would it?
You know.
Both black and white 64 gigs are in short supply or whatever.
But you ordered it and they didn't send you that one, so.
Yeah, I don't know why that happened. I think because I ordered on the phone. I was going to order online, but I had to ring up and ask them if I still had an account or not. And the guy was like, well, while you're here, you might as well do it, which I think was because he wanted a commission.
Did you?
I did on the phone. So
did you still have an account?
I kind of did. It was really weird. They had my phone number, my old Auckland phone number, but I think with the physical address of the person who got the phone number after I left.
Weird.
But yeah, I have an account now. But yeah, a somehow TV I think. The long
Minute. What? This is incomprehensible.
I think maybe you should stop.
Well, I guess I'll put that in the unrelated videos on the show notes. What was that? Man, people make some crazy shit on the internet. I love you, people on the internet. I love you so much. Don't stop making stuff. Don't stop making your weird, crazy stuff. All right, let's close the show. How long has it even been? I have no idea.
It's been forever.
I have no idea how long it's been.
Been connected for over 2 hours, 20.
But, you know, so it's about a 1 hour overflow. That's pretty normal then. That's not too bad. Was a little bit meandering there. I really enjoy talking about some of that old IHAG stuff because I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I don't normally think about. You know,
I always thought there was a tell all book to be had.
Yeah,
God, it was
dangerous. I mean, you'd want to have a good lawyer.
Yeah, it was. I would love to have archives of some of the mailing lists and things. Yeah.
The I think I probably do.
I think I probably do. For instance, Nick Wood saying. Blah, blah, blah. Thank you guys for all your hard work and et cetera, et cetera. And if you don't keep working fucking hard, I'm going to knock your bloody blood, piss the blood out of your eyes. And it's like, even when he was trying to be nice, he couldn't keep it up.
Yeah. It was like, you're...
Hey, who wants some shares? Does everyone want some shares?
I'd like to find the email from the office manager that said, from now on, you're not to use more than 3 sheets of toilet paper at a time.
Anthony Baum, what a tool.
Like, seriously, email to all of the staff.
What a tool.
3 pieces of toilet paper maximum.
A self-hating, self-closeting...
96, maybe 97?
I think it's probably 97. What an unbelievable dickhead that guy was.
He was crazy.
He had no idea what he was doing. But he sure was confident.
So much awesome. It was a really fun time. And it was cool because it was pioneering days of the internet, like literally. At least for how internet access to people came about. Like we were there when, you know, dial up became a big thing and it was flat rate dial up. And then also through into, you know, the launch of high-speed internet and ADSL and things like that.
Yeah.
The jobs that we all had, the amount of power that we had in those jobs, you would not get that in an equivalent job working for Telecom or Vodafone or whoever today.
Yeah. No.
And that I think that was part of our success, frankly.
Mm.
Well, we could do. But, shit, you know, I don't know about you, I could make accounts free.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Yeah.
We could modify the accounting system if we wanted.
Yeah.
It was just Perl. All right, we've got to kill this because, you know, we can talk about that more another time. I really do like it. I really do like it. But maybe in a separate thing because, yeah, like I said before, it probably is quite alienating for a lot of people because, I mean, the people who were actually there and who are properly interested will be fascinated and then 98% of people will be like, what are they talking?
A reminder that's a bit too late.
Yeah.
Don't forget, we're doing a live election television internet show.
Yeah.
On election day. Yeah. Conveniently.
And we've sure have arranged a lot of guests, eh, Dylan?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And we sure have locked down our venue.
Yeah. No. So, discourse.co.nz/election is where it will be.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Where at the moment there is some information about it.
And actually, on the day, it'll probably be on the front page. I think the whole site will be taken over by it.
Why not?
But let's see. Let's see.
Watch our election show and tell other people too as well. And
even if it's a train wreck, it's going to be entertaining for you.
Entertaining train wreck.
Enjoy my flop sweat.
Pretty graphics.
Enjoy my corpsing and falling over after 4 hours continuously broadcasting on the internet. Yep. Okay. Thank you for listening once again. Love you and good for you making it through another overflow. You are a champion. Robin?
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us again.
It's been a pleasure.
Now you may sleep. Dylan,
thank you.
Mm.
You are a pro.
Mm.
Go and give your kids a kiss on the face.
Done that already. One of them's quite goobery.
Oh, gross. I got a virus from one of your bloody children.
Probably both of them combined.
Probably both of them.
Super virus.
It was not a super virus. It was so frustrating. It was like the most piffling. It was the most piffling fucking cold. Didn't even give me a headache, but it got through my defenses because it was like baby viruses or something. I don't even know what it was.
See how close we were to ending the show.
Yeah. Hey. Hey, you're right. Okay. Thank you, everybody. Love you. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
Fish and chats, fish and chats, fish and chats.
The show is cancelled. Beep.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.
Corn beef.
Cup of tea.
Corn beef.
For a while.
beef. Corned beef. Breakfast. How about a raspberry lemmington? That sounds nice.
Beamish tart.
Corned beef.
Is this your little bag on the table?
It's nothing, ignore it.
I'm lovely too.
Cup of tea.
I would actually like to know what kind of tea they had. It was probably something really boring, but wouldn't it be nice if they'd had something interesting? Like if one of them had a Feijoa and calamansi tea or something, and the other had, you know, blackberry Ribena and St. John's wort or something.
I wonder if we could get high res. They had the photos. The teapots had the tea had the little tags hanging out of them. So if we find a good enough photo, we might be able to.
Did they have separate teapots?
Yes, one teapot each. Yes.
So yes, they had different teas.
Uh-huh. Well, no, but usually when you order it, no, well, they wouldn't share. Come on,
it's called tea for toe, Dylan.
They're not socialists. You red panko filthy. It's like the march of the Soviets again, all over again, there, Robin.
I believe
you'll have us out in the snow if you make us share teapots. Yeah, we'd have to share a tractor amongst our whole collective village.
I want to know if he paid with FPOS and if someone filmed his PIN number.
The proletariat of the tea drinkers. Is that what it is, Robin? You sicken me. You sicken me. You want to redistribute the lamingtons.
Nothing wrong with sharing tea with someone you like. Well, then maybe that's the problem.
Sharing.
They didn't.
You
like
and your sharing, you happy. What's wrong with the world?
Because one would have had to have poured for the other one, and it would have looked gay.
Oh, it would have been subservient. One of them would have been subservient to the other.
Yeah. Banks would have been pouring.
Yeah, well, of course.
But I bet his hands would have shaken.
Are we still making a show?
We were kind of saying goodbye to our company.
Well, I mean, we said thanks and goodbye, and then we sang a little song, and now we're talking about something else. I don't know. I might include this, or I might not, and I might just end it suddenly abruptly.
Right, like right in the middle of while I'm speaking.
Fish and chips, fish and chips, fish and chips.
The show is cancelled. Beep.